It's time for another episode of the Infinite Loopback Podcast, an Apple-themed technology podcast with your hosts, Brian Baggett, Jim Graham, Brad Tarver, and Jason Young. Good evening, gentlemen. How are you this fine Tuesday?
Tuesday's great.
Better than Monday.
I'm in Dallas, so it's kind of nice, you know. Well, it's kind of nice to be in Dallas, but it's not nice in Dallas. I think it's been raining for about 7-10 days straight and cold and wet. And just, I walked out tonight to go get a package and you couldn't even see the top of buildings. It was so foggy here in Dallas tonight.
There's no better word than the word gross.
What about you, Jason? You're still recovering. How are you doing?
Yeah, I've done pretty well for the last week or so. I've had a little bit of a discomfort the past couple of days, like an idiot in my sleep. Apparently, I'm not conscious of the fact that I recently had major foot surgery. So the other night, I went to roll over in the bed and use my bad foot to push off. And let's just say I woke up in a considerable amount of pain for a little while. And that pain's been lingering for the past couple of days. But I'm really trying to stay off the prescription pain meds. And I will say that Tylenol is not equal to oxycodone.
Ain't that the truth? How much longer do you have to recover before the doctor's saying you're good?
Well, so I've got my second post-op this Thursday, and hopefully we'll be getting out of the splint into a boot. Probably won't be able to do any weight-bearing for another 3 weeks, and then we'll probably start some weight-bearing in a pool at about the six-week mark. So, you know, probably another 3 or 4 weeks before I can really start any kind of rehab on it, and then it's a slow process. Unfortunately, I like food a lot, so I'm kind of a heavier person. So my recovery may be a little bit longer in that I really have to get that foot strong to be able to support the weight that I'm carrying around. So hopefully during my rehab time, I plan on really changing my diet and really, you know, exercising considerably more during that time and cut that recovery time down by losing some weight and getting healthier at the same time.
Do you have a fancy little knee scooter?
I do. Mine actually came equipped with some racing flames on it. And over the weekend, you know, I'm an avid, competitive shooter and like target sports. And so I took a fairly funny picture of the knee scooter has a basket on the front of it. So I took my Wilson Combat EDC X9, stuck it in the holster, clipped the holster to the scooter. And so I can be seen around the Alpharetta, Georgia area scooting around with a pistol in the front of the knee scooter.
It's sort of like the biathlon. You know, you come racing down the hill on your scooter and then shoot a target.
Yeah, that's the other Olympics where they have that biathlon.
So what's this about you doing some shopping over FaceTime since you haven't been able to leave the house? What's that all about?
Yes, so I just kind of wanted to make a call out on FaceTime as far as I think we take it for granted now that it's been around for a couple of years. Initially, when it first came out, it was Wi-Fi only. It was fairly limited in what you could do. But, you know, I've had two major purchases in the last 6 months where FaceTime was a integral part of that purchase. So we actually purchased my wife's Subaru Forester over FaceTime. I never set foot on the dealership. I, you know, walked around her car at home. He appraised it over FaceTime. He did a video tour and kind of did the whole explanation of features on her new car over FaceTime. We agreed to a price, and literally she drove in the very next day, 10 o'clock, was out of there at 10:30 and had her new car. So that was great. But you know, with my limited mobility, it's really difficult for me right now to even get out of the house. And I've only been out of the house twice since surgery, which was 2 weeks ago yesterday. And of course, this weekend, our refrigerator and freezer just completely died on us. And it's, you know, one of the nicer LG, side-by-side French door deal. We need a new refrigerator. So she went and did some shopping at Best Buy and Home Depot and Lowe's and kind of figured out the couple that she was interested in. And I just didn't have the stamina to go around on the knee scooter to all those stores. And plus, you know, I'm working during the day working from home. So on her lunch break, She went over to Home Depot and essentially did a complete FaceTime demo with me on various brands, various models, went through all the features and whatnot, and kind of felt like I had myself a personal shopper there. But it was great. We were able to make a
very nice.
Yeah, I mean we were able to make a you know good decision on what we both liked and ended up making a purchase. And it was just kind of amazing that is the new norm. And you know we take it for granted. I remember how excited I was when the first BlackBerries came out in the late 90s, you know, to be able to get your email on a handheld device out of exchange was just crazy. And then next thing you knew, a couple of years later, everybody had BlackBerries. So it's kind of the same thing of kids growing up now didn't live in a world, you know, without FaceTime. So anyhow, I just kind of wanted to call out that something that we use on a daily basis around here really kind of makes a big impact on our lives.
Yeah, I was just talking about the bad weather. I was actually walking back to the apartment and was on FaceTime with a friend, just showing him, hey, look at the buildings. You can't see the top. And, you know, just walking around downtown, FaceTiming, just showing him the fog, just because it was something to do. Hey, Brad, I like the new haircut.
Thanks, man. I have to look respectable for work.
Well, you're trying, at least.
He looks like a Dapper Dan man.
He's bona fide.
So, yeah, we're going to take a little detour here and talk about the Coen brothers for just a moment. What's this about you not liking so many of the classic Coen brothers movies there, Jason? You were saying you didn't like The Big Lebowski and you didn't like Fargo? What?
So, I tried, guys. I mean...
Kick him off!
I have heard you guys, and not just you guys, right? Like, tons of my friends, they're always quoting The Big Lebowski and they're always quoting Fargo. And I have made a couple of honest attempts to get into those movies, and I just can't. I have never finished either one of them. There's something about them. I guess I didn't find that humorous. But I do like some of his other stuff. So Raising Arizona, I thought was great.
I don't get it, man. I don't know that I've seen Big Lebowski the most of any movie, but it's easily in the top 3 to 5 of movies that I have watched the most times in my life is The Big Lebowski. I'm almost sure that if you don't count like stupid things on pay regular cable that just happened to be on.
I mean, you liked Oh Brother, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I did like that one a lot.
Filmed in our home state of Mississippi, so that was a good movie. Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I can't count how many times I've seen that film as well. That's really an enjoyable movie.
I mean, it's based on classic Greek literature.
Yes, based on the works of Homer, I believe.
No Country was good. I think I've only seen that once, maybe twice, but it was good.
I just love dark movies. I really love reading about serial killers. I love the whole psychology behind it, and I listen to a couple of different serial killer type podcasts and true crime podcasts, and I own several very large sort of reference type books of stories and whatnot of serial killers. So all these types of movies really appeal to me. And a movie like Anton Chigurh, that character, I was just really compelled to I just really enjoyed that movie so much.
Well, at least you don't have one of those little pneumatic cow killers, though. If you own several of those, then we'd have to worry about you, I guess.
Yeah, that's got to be the most awesome like weapon ever chosen for a movie. That little thing was pretty cool.
Because no one knows what it is when you're walking around with it.
I think I'm the last person to see it, but I finally watched Get Out.
Just a year late.
I was kind of shocked. I didn't know what to expect. I saw it on there. I hadn't read a whole lot about it. You know, I just kind of avoided it. I know, right? I just kind of avoided it. And I started watching it. I was like, oh, wow, this is really good. I was like, ooh. You know, it was literally a browsing kind of, I'm just not like a horror movie kind of guy, so I just don't watch them. I didn't realize it was like psychological horror. I thought it was one of those like slasher type movies. I really did. I thought I saw, what was it, Key and Peele or whatever, Jordan Peele. I saw that name on it and I thought it was one of those comedy slasher movies. Just being honest here, you know, ignorant here.
Sort of like the Scary Movie series.
Yeah, I really did. That's what I thought it was. I saw his name on there. He's freaking hilarious.
Just a parody, if you will.
Yeah, and it was kind of a parody of sorts.
Well, it was sort of like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner with Murder.
Well, so I was a little surprised to not see this in the show notes, but I'm a big fan of, you know, so this is a segue on movies that I do like. I do like stuff from M. Night Shyamalan, And I was surprised today to see the announcement that the next...
He's fired. You're gone. Just... In the same conversation, you're going to diss the Coen brothers, and then you're going to talk about M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong?
You know, I don't like steak, but I do like beef jerky.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but so, you know, he just signed on for a... Or Apple just signed him up for a new thriller series that's going to be a part of Apple's original content.
I'll be cautiously optimistic. The movie that he did this past year with the split personalities, what was it? Was it called Split? Was that it?
It was called Split, yeah.
Which, you know, turned out to be a, spoiler alert, sort of in the same universe as Unbreakable from 2001, and they're filming a sequel to that that ties into Split, which is going to be pretty cool. So, I mean, that was all right, but I don't know, man. He's, ever since The Sixth Sense, he's been misfiring just like one right after the... He always had to be the gimmicky, it's a twist, if you ever watched Robot Chicken when they would used to parody his movies. I don't know. I'm just kind of over his stuff, but Split was pretty good.
Well, the main girl in Split, the protagonist, she's a real up-and-coming actress. I mean, she's in several new movies that have come out in the past year, and she's in several going to come out in 2018.
Here's a great idea, pitch for a podcast for us four. It's a podcast about movies, but none of us have ever seen them. We only go read like the synopsis on like IMDb, and then we have a podcast to talk about it. I think that would be an awesome
What about that new movie? Oh, that looks really good.
So, Jim, you got Alto's Odyssey this week. What did you think?
I love it. It's a really, I don't even want to call it fun. It's just immersive. I bought it last week and I played it a little bit, just dabbling with it. And then I took like an hour long flight this weekend from Dallas down to South Mississippi. And I put my headphones on and I've got my new iPhone 10 case, you know, that it has the built in stand. And I kind of set it there on the table and I'm listening to the soundtrack and I'm just playing Alto all the way home. An hour went by like nothing. I just landed. I was like, holy cow, I've been, you know, going. And I was playing the actual game then where if you crash, you have to start over. And so I did that a little more over the weekend. I flew right back home on Sunday. And Sunday night, I get into the bed and I put my AirPods in with the iPad 10 and a half inch Pro. And I enabled the, I guess they call it Zen mode, which is basically you just crash and keep going. It's just the soundtrack plays and you just crash and keep going. And I just sat there for an hour or more just playing, you know, that game, listening to the soundtrack. And so then I went looking online for the soundtrack to see if I could download it. And obviously, or maybe not obviously, but you can't. But I did find like a hour long video on YouTube that is the soundtrack that somebody put out there. So you could play that in the background if you wanted sometimes. But yeah, it's fun. I mean, I've read a couple of the reviews so far, and evidently I'm like 10%, 20% into this game. I mean, there's so much more to do and see and things like that. So, I mean, I'm just at the tip of the iceberg. I just think it's real immersive. It's real relaxing. You know, there's no stress in the game. You know, it's just a fun game. Where you just don't get in there and stress about anything. It's just kind of a brain dump kind of moment.
Sort of like that game we used to play a long time ago called Tiny Wings. You would just kind of fly the bird over the hills.
Exactly. Tiny Wings was great. I love that one too. So, yeah.
Have you tried playing it on your TV yet? Because there's the TVOS version, you know.
I was shocked. I guess I just didn't think about
that. The original game was the same way too. Like it was on TVOS as well. So that's why when you're saying you're playing it on the plane, I get it, because that's when I do most of my gaming if I'm traveling and I can't do anything else. But it really surprised me with that 75-inch TV. You haven't just sat there with your headphones on doing it on the television.
I need to give that a try tonight. That is definitely on the to-do list. I saw it on there. I just haven't got around to checking it out. But it didn't even dawn on me like when I purchased it that, hey, you're going to get the TV app too, and you know, it just kind of shows up on your home screen, which, you know, props to Apple for that. I think that's a pretty neat the way that happens. You don't have to rebuy it for your TV. I mean, I can understand not having to rebuy it for the iPad, you know, because it's kind of similar platform. The fact you don't have to rebuy it for the TV, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's how I discovered the first one had the TV version. I had my Apple TV set to automatically download any apps that I put onto my phone. That's not something I would do for my iPad, but for the Apple TV, there's so few apps that actually come out that are iOS and tvOS too, so that, you know, one day I turn on my Apple TV and there was, you know, Alto's Adventure originally, and I was like, oh, I've got to try this. And it works very well with the Apple remote. So really, really, you should check that out. I think you'd dig it, especially on that big screen. It's beautiful.
You know, I think you're right. Just thinking about the mechanic of tapping the screen, it seems like to me if having the remote is like having an external joystick, which would be even better than having to tap the screen, just tapping the tapping the remote. Yeah.
Yeah, so many games don't work really well with the remote, but that one really does. So it's worth checking out. So there was a link I posted a couple of weeks ago in Telegram, or maybe the show notes. We didn't really get around to talking about it. But there's an article that we're going to link to this week about the 11 best video game soundtracks for studying. And I think it's a nice segue talking about Alto's Odyssey and the music that's in it and how great it is to this article. And if you look through the games, you know, a lot of the games are sort of the open world MMO type games where you can do anything as part of this. I thought Zelda being one of those, one of the Zelda games was on there. I think Destiny is on there. This is awesome to me because a lot of times when I work, I can't listen to podcasts because I get distracted. I want to listen to what's going on. I can't really focus. I can't really listen to music that I care about because I still find it distracting. But the video game soundtrack thing is just genius because you can listen to it. It's designed to not be obtrusive, to not take you away from what you're doing, something where you can, you know, you focus intently on a game. It's almost like focusing when you're having to work, and it's immersive without being distracting, I guess. So we're gonna share that. Did you guys get a chance to peruse that list? And if so, is there anything that you would put on there besides Alto's games that you would include as part of that?
There was a Spotify, I think it was curated by the Spotify people, called Bass Gaming that you posted, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. See, I'm glad you remember that because that was a long, I was going to see if anyone did, and that's awesome. You remember that.
You know, and it's got some definite game music in it or game-centric type music in it, but it's got some like drum and bass and... Man, what's that genre called? I can't even think of it right now. What's the Skrillex genre?
Dubstep.
Dubstep. Thank you very much. I can't believe there's a funny Key and Peele skit where they make fun of dubstep. I mean, it's really funny. It's on like it's in the first season. And I think it's like on the third or fourth episode. Anyway, there's been a couple of other soundtrack types playlists that I found like that are really good to work. And I realized the original topic was to study too, but... It is, like you said, one of those things where you can really hyper-focus on what you're working on, especially if it's sort of like a tedious thing that you're working on, too.
So the other one I mentioned there was the soundtrack for Journey, which is a popular, I think it's a PS4 is where it was first, PS3 was where it first came out, maybe? Is that correct? The game Journey?
With all the games that I listen to, I mean, all the podcasts I listen to that Syracuse is on, I'm sure, I think it was PS3, because he talks about that endlessly on his podcast with Merlin Mann, so I think you're right.
Yeah, Journey is the Syracuse game. Anyway, the soundtrack of that is really good, and the guy who did that soundtrack, his name is Austin Wintory, and if you search Apple Music, you can find 6 or 8 other albums that he's done. Some of them are more movie soundtrack kind of albums, but some of them are other game-type soundtracks, and they're pretty good as well, but I think Journey is still my favorite of all the ones he's done.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And we'll put links to all that in the show notes as well for folks that are looking for something to listen to that they can work to or study with and not really be distracted by. So,
when you're not listening to us.
Exactly, when you're not listening to Infinite Loopback. There was a report this week that Apple is planning on a 6.5-inch iPhone X Plus. And boy, do I not like the sound of that. What do you guys think of this?
I don't really like the idea of it just because they sort of accomplished the high-res phone with the new iPhone X. I mean, that was the whole point of squeezing all those extra pixels into that somewhat smaller than the plus size phone form factor. So it just seems odd that they would sort of reverse gear and sort of double the pixels or whatever it is they're going to wind up doing with it. You know, you might as well just put a speaker and an earpiece on an iPad and, you know, on a regular 9.7-inch iPad and just let them keep going with that. And I realize the new phone's not going to be that big, but...
It's not far off, though.
It's getting ridiculous. You know, I mean, it's just silly, I think.
I think what bothers me most about it is I really like the iPhone X form factor. It's the perfect size, but it still got that bigger screen like the pluses were. And I always wanted a plus for the additional features that the plus had, like the better cameras and things like that. But I didn't want, I tried the plus out at first and I just didn't like it. It was just too big. So what I'm, the only thing I'm, you know, scared of is here, you know, they're going to come up with another plus version. And are they going to put good stuff in that that I can't get in the model that I'm going to end up buying because it's not the plus model? You know, I want all the features, but I don't want all the size.
I'm sure this is probably for the Asian market more than it is for the US market. But, you know, even with the plus was sort of straining what a pocket could hold. I don't really see having how having a 6.5-inch diagonal phone is going to be really conducive to, I don't know. I mean, I used to say the same thing about the plus size phone. I never thought I would own one, and then I did. But I'm with you on that one. The iPhone X form factor, having no bezels, gives me all of the real estate, pretty much, of the plus with the same form factor almost of the regular iPhone. So, you know, I personally don't really see the appeal. But I, again, like you, I hope that they don't just keep some things for the plus and deny us normal sized phone users from having that. I can tell you right now, the way I'm feeling today, which is always subject to change, I probably wouldn't go for that model. I'd probably stick with the one that I have just because I don't feel like there's any trade-off anymore from the size and form factor from what we had before.
If you buy a case for the new 6.5-inch phone, it'll have a shoulder strap that comes with it.
I don't know, man. Oh, just to backtrack just a little bit, Jim, you had mentioned your case that you got for your phone. I know we talked about it last week about having the where you close the cover. How are you liking that? Because that seems like something I absolutely would not like. Just not having easy access to the front of the phone really quickly, having to pull it out and open it like it's a checkbook from 1998. So how are you liking it?
So I'm the same way. I wasn't sure if I would like it or not, but I really wanted to give it a shot, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm not. It doesn't add that much protection to the phone because you still don't have anything around the edges. It actually just sticks on the back, and then folds around to the front. But it's like the best of both worlds. Like, I want to carry the iPhone X naked because it's so just nice in your hand or whatever. So this kind of is like having that naked phone because you just got something stuck on the back and folded around in the front. And I've put my one credit card and driver's license in it. And this weekend, I obviously brought my wallet with me, but I left my wallet in my backpack as I was traveling. And just had my phone in my pocket, and it had everything I needed in it always, and so that was great. It was nice to have a little stand on, you know, as on the plane. I'm really enjoying it. I mean, the leather is very nice. I mean, it's made by 12 South. You know, it's, you know, going to be very nice materials. It's got a good color to it, and you know, and it's starting to, you know, the leather's kind of starting to change a little bit, you know, to look a little more worn. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. The one thing that I haven't gotten used to yet is I keep going to take a picture and I remember that I have the front folded around because I'm like, oh, it's black, and I have to fold it back around to take a picture. But that's about the only time that it's really caught me off, like, oh yeah, you've got to do that. And I think I'll get used to that. And the other thing is, up until yesterday or the day before, I kept opening it all the way up to adjust the volume. But there are little riser buttons on the outside to where when it folds over, you can adjust the volume without opening up the phone. So I'm getting used to using those. But I just didn't think of them being there, you know, the way they are. And so I kept opening it up. And I'm like, that's kind of a pain. I'm like, oh, yeah, they've got, you know, I need to just make myself used to using these buttons on the outside. It kind of makes me want one of these for my iPad. But I'm not going to go there because I've already spent so much money on the keyboard case and everything with the iPad. So
I used to have a wallet case for my iPhone. My wife is using one that's essentially the same one that I had before. Actually, it is the same one as before, since I didn't keep the normal form factor of the iPhone that she's using. But I just couldn't do the wraparound, man. I just couldn't do it. And I'd keep my license and the credit card on the back, and it was incredibly convenient. But if you're using wireless charging, you pretty much can't use it because it, you know, puts your credit card on the charger, and that can demagnetize it or short out the chip, so it's not supposed, you can't
melt
do it that way. Yeah, melt it. That's the other thing that can happen. So,
and so this one, the cards are on the front,
right,
on the front flap, so you can actually do the charging. So that's convenient. But yeah, I'm getting used to it as far as, you know, just having the card. I was somewhere the other day. Oh, I was in Whole Foods. I had to run in and buy dog food, and I started to walk up to the counter, and I was like, oh crap, I don't have my wallet. Where's my wallet? I'm like, oh yeah. And I'm just, you know, I pull out my phone and pull out my credit card. But for just that split second, I was like, I left my wallet in the car. I didn't grab it. I left it at home. And then it clicked to me. Oh, yeah, you've got your phone. It's got the credit card in it. That's why you didn't grab your wallet.
If you're in Whole Foods, it should have clicked with you that they've taken Apple Pay since forever. And you could have just used your watch. Grandpa, who doesn't use his watch.
Yeah, well, you know. I don't use Apple Pay to pay a whole lot of places.
Even when it's available and you can?
I use it everywhere that will take it.
Damn Skippy.
Most of the money I spend is on food or travel. And so if I'm out getting food, I wasn't sure if I'd get my extra bonus points if I used Apple Pay through my Chase Sapphire. Because I don't know that, do they still pass all that information on to Chase of where all the money was spent and everything? I wasn't sure about how that would work.
It doesn't change the transaction type. Like if you're buying something, they know what the transaction was for. Like, I mean, if you get your statement back, it still has everywhere that you shopped with it and everything that you, you know, well, at least the amounts and where you spent it. So I don't see why it would be any different than the chip method.
Okay. I just wasn't sure. Yeah. I just wasn't sure about that. As far as I know, Apple Pay is supposed to be, you know, kind of try to hide your identity or some such. So I didn't know if that would affect the process of me getting my double points when I go buy, you know, 8 beers and a burger somewhere.
I think it's just obfuscating the number and that type of thing, making sure that that's secure. I don't think it's any sort of issue from a privacy perspective. Hell, I wish more places would take Apple Pay. And you see the reports that they put out where it's like, you know, 35 or 40 or 50% of all these businesses that take it. And it's like, I'm going to call shenanigans on that because I shop at a lot of different places. What's really weird is when you go places that take it and they don't know that they take it. My vet takes it and didn't know that they took it. So I tell them, key it in. You know, my physical therapist, my doctor, they take it and they didn't know it. I'm like, they're like, hand me your credit card. I'm like, key in the number. Watch this. And you pay with it and they look at you like you're a wizard.
It's magic.
So I don't know. I'm all in on that stuff. And on the watch, it is so fast. You double tap that button, bam, tap your wrist and you are done. I mean, it is insanely fast. Even the places that take the chip credit card, it's like, I don't want to use it just because you stick it in there and it takes a minute and it dials back. It's like, why can't the chip card be this fast? I don't get it.
It's 7:42, Brian. Every time we mention doing something with the watch, I've always got to, that's what I use my watch for, is to tell the time and to tell the weather. So I always, you know, it's 7:42.
And additionally, tell you when to get off the treadmill.
One of these days, you're going to use it for what it's there for. I only use my iPhone to make calls. So let's see what else is going on.
I hardly ever make calls with my phone, so there you go.
Ironically. So a couple of things in AirPod news this week. So it looks like AirPods, the second generation, are being worked on right now. And they're saying that it's going to make it so that you can invoke Siri hands-free and allegedly have a new chip. Well, the W1 that was in the first series, I guess there's a W2 that's in the Series 3 watch. So when they say it would be a new chip, I don't know if it would be like a W3 or something like that. And of course, according to this, it looks like they're also working on over-the-ear headphones that would be similar to AirPods. What do you guys think about AirPod Series 2 and the over-the-ear headphones?
So are they just bleeding into the Beats market with the over-the-ear type thing?
These would not be marketed as Beats. It said it would explicitly just be sort of Apple-branded headphones.
Yeah, when I saw that, I kind of chuckled initially because, like, wow, if only they had like a partnership or, you know, already owned a headphone company, maybe they could do something kind of special with that.
You can get the Beats Solo today with the W1 chip in it. So, you know, I mean,
I've got a pair actually, and they work really well. I like them.
I saw a rumor this week that the Beats, they were going to ditch the Beats name, that basically Beats was going to go away. And that they were just going to have Apple branded headphones instead of calling them Beats.
I doubt
but
that.
But I don't see that happening. It's
no
got
way.
Too much.
It's got too much clout with the name. It's,
I mean,
too,
but if you think about it, Apple doesn't own anything else that it doesn't sell as an Apple product. I mean nothing.
That is true.
Everything they sell is Apple. Beats is the only thing that they sell hardware wise that it doesn't say Apple anywhere on there. And you know, they might have finally decided, hey, you know, these are Apple headphones. These aren't Beats.
See, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. Beats is such a recognizable multi-billion dollar brand, and it's so prevalent amongst professional sports. You see all the NBA players wearing them, NFL players,
boxers.
I mean, it has such a iconic, you know, recognizable logo. People know what Beats are. And there are certain people who will absolutely buy Beats on brand name alone that probably would not even think about purchasing other Apple products. So
it is a great name. It is a great name for a pair of headphones. I wish they were better headphones.
Yeah, I'll give you that. So I have had a couple of sets of Beats that were less than stellar a few years back. You know, for this podcast, I've been wearing Beats over the ear wired headphones for a while, and I really like the ones that I've got on. And so I ended up, back when I bought my iPad Pro 10.5, they had the Beats wireless version of the over the ear headphones on sale, and I bought a set of those, and that's the ones that have the W1 chip in them, and they sound great. For the money that I paid for them, I paid like $150, whereas they were normally like $250. I think at $250, I would have felt like I didn't get my money's worth.
So the Hey Lady thing, is that really? I mean, I know I can tap on my right ear and I get Siri. So I don't understand the difference between that and having it always listening. It seems like to me, if it was always listening, you're going to have battery problems. I don't know. I mean, the batteries in those things, I mean, that's why I want another pair now, because I feel like the batteries in mine just aren't lasting like they were. But mine are over a year old now, and I use them a lot. You know, I'm on them a good part of the day for conference calls and listening to music. So I'm ready for another pair, but I've been waiting to see if they were going to come out with something new. I don't really get the Siri part. I guess it's just a logical progression, but it just seems to me like it would burn down batteries if they were always listening.
I think it's great that they'd be going all in to make that happen, but I really want them to get more serious about Siri if they're going to drain the battery with it. I'm the same way. Like, for me, I don't even have one AirPod do one thing and one AirPod do the other. I make them both invoke Siri because, let's say, I'm in the grocery store or something and I'm shopping and I'm walking up to the counter. I just double tap my AirPod and say pause, and everything pauses. So I don't even worry about, you know, oh, my left is going to pause and my right is going to invoke Siri. I just do it that way.
My left is the next track, so that's what I use that one for. If I'm listening and I'm, you know, it's shuffling, I'm like, I don't like that song. I just reach up and hit my left.
See, my Apple Watch has this thing called Now Playing, and I just go to the next song with my Apple Watch, and then I don't have to worry. I just love messing with you on that.
The time is now 7:47.
Now, you know, that's actually something that surprises me the most since I've switched to the Siri face. Whenever I'm listening to podcasts and I'm walking around wherever listening to them, used to I would pull out the phone and do whatever. Now I just, you know, whatever Now Playing pops up on the Siri face on the watch. So it's always one tap away from being able to switch tracks or, you know, jump through commercials of a podcast or turn the volume up and down. And, you know, I've always used the Now Playing when I'm working out. It was fine. But I always had to use it as something in the dock that I would switch to. And now I just, you know, it's omnipresent. It's right there. So
I'm just going to say it, put it out there. I just feel stupid talking to my watch.
You don't have to talk to your watch. I mean, it's still tap controlled for this.
I know, but you, I mean, I don't know. I just, the talking to the watch.
Do you feel stupid if you were to double tap your ear and just say pause?
No, I could do that.
I mean, that's what I
get that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the...
I talk to my watch a good bit, actually. I mean, I'll just say, you know, text my son or text whoever. I mean, that's the perfect use case, and I don't have to dig for my phone because it may be in my back pocket or a front pocket or whatever, and I'm carrying a bag and may have other things in my hand, like a computer or something, and I just don't really have an extra hand free to jam into a pocket, but I can pretty easily just get my wrist in front of my face.
That's my use case as well. Or if I'm cooking and my hands are not in a position where I want to touch my phone or even touch the AirPods, being able to just,
all right,
to just, you know, raise the wrist enough to invoke it. Or, you know, if you get a phone call and you answer by touching your nose to your watch and then briefly talking through that until you can clean your hands and pop in your AirPods or whatever is very, very good.
I've answered a couple of calls on mine here or there where I couldn't get to my phone. I do use on the AirPods quite a bit. If I'm walking around, I'll say, call this person or that person. You know, to do that. So
for somebody who has problems invoking Siri, I figure you would like that, having the AirPods be omnipresent like that, if they can figure out the battery life, because it never misunderstands me when I have the AirPods in. Like it's very, very good and it's listening.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it is pretty good.
Now for the over the ear headphones, unless they have noise canceling, I probably wouldn't. I wouldn't see a need to invest in it because my Sonys do such a good job at what I need them to do that I probably, I need noise canceling. If I have over-the-ear headphones, the only thing that will make me use the AirPods is the convenience. I really wish they had noise canceling, but I would not use over-the-ear headphones, no matter how good they are, if they don't have some sort of noise canceling. Because I'll use those at work. I'll put them on and just turn on the noise canceling and not listen to anything, just to have that sort of give me some silence so I can focus.
And people won't bug you because they think you're listening to music.
Right. That makes them think twice if they see it.
Yeah.
I'll sit there with them on all the time like that, and I just don't care. They may not even be plugged in and working or even turned on, but I will leave them on.
I don't like the noise canceling on by itself. It's like I'm in a like pressure vacuum room or something. It makes me feel weird to have it on without anything playing on them. But I mean, I use mine on the plane a lot. And so, yeah, I'm in the same case as you. I would only buy over-the-ear Apple headphones if they had noise canceling, because my Sonys are great. I paid a lot of money for them. They're great at what they do. And otherwise, I wear my AirPods almost all the time. I don't use the Sonys a whole lot off the plane, although I do use them at work at sometimes, depending on what's going on. But yeah, noise canceling is the only purpose for the over-the-ear. I mean, I have I paid $20-$30 for these over-the-ear headphones I have now that we do the podcast in, but that's the only time I use them. So
yeah, I have cheap cans for the podcast as well. You know, I'll walk around the house with my AirPods in, even if I'm not on the phone or listening to something. But most of the time, though, I'll be listening to something. Like if I know my wife is about to get off work and she's working at night, I'll probably just leave the AirPods in and I'll walk around the house because I know at some point she's going to call, and it's just easier and more convenient if I'm playing on the iPad, if I'm playing on the phone, just to double tap an ear and start talking instead of having to worry about. And I know if I'm not talking, those batteries will last a long time. So I know I look sort of weird walking around the house with those. But yeah, they...
So did you get your colorware?
It wasn't colorware. It's black pods.
Your black pods?
Oh, they're not colorware.
No. Black pods are much more reasonably priced to get things painted than colorware are.
I thought you were just calling them black pods.
No.
But they were colorware. That's the brand.
Yes, the folks...
Or the people who do it.
Right, okay. The folks in New York who do that. They're having a special, or they were as of a few days ago, I guess they still are, where instead of charging $99 to paint them, they'll do it for $69. And I think if you want the matte black, which is really kind of what I think I wanted, but I went with the glossy just because, you know, I could get them for $70. I could have them painted. I bought an extra pair of AirPods. People may have heard me talk about this before on the podcast. About a year ago, I'd had my first set of AirPods for a very short period of time, and I felt like they were going to die. I was using them a lot. I used them every day. I was working out in them. And they were a little flaky and unreliable at first. I think they figured that out with the firmware. So I knew the lead time on a new pair of AirPods, even if I went to return them through Apple, it was going to be a long time. It was like 6 to 8 weeks. So I just bit the bullet and ordered a pair. Well, I've had a pair sitting behind my iMac that have been unopened, still in the film and everything, the cellophane. And when I got that email saying, hey, you know, or I went to their website just to see on a lark if they what they were charging. And I saw that I could do it for $70. I'm like, well, this is a no-brainer. I'm going to go ahead and do it and send it to them. The turnaround time has been pretty good. Like they say, takes up to 10 to 12 business days. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to bug them. I'll just wait. And they were supposed to be here. I got the notification from the post office. They were supposed to be here by like Monday. And we're recording this Tuesday night, and they just got to Atlanta today. So maybe I'll see them tomorrow, maybe Thursday. I don't know at this point. Whatever shipping method they picked, it was not it was not priority, that's for sure. I don't even think it was first class. I think they used media mail or something. It's taken a long time to come back, is what I'm saying.
Wow, yeah, probably $300. I'm looking at the website now for a set.
If you buy them new from them. So you can send, they'll even let you send in used AirPods into it. So when Colorware first started doing this, they would let you, you know, of course you could always buy it from them, but if you had a new unopened pair of AirPods, you could send them in and they would paint them for a fee. Well, at some point they took that option away. Because last fall, I know you and I had talked about this, Jim. I was looking at doing one red and one blue and one sort of baby blue for the case.
Ooh, yeah.
That's right, man. It was gonna be sick. And they took that option away. You had to buy directly from them, and their markup was considerable. And, you know, they do good work. It's just I didn't want to spend that. Plus, I already had an extra pair laying around that was unopened that I wanted to send them. Well, the BlackPods folks, you know, you can send in your unopened pair, or they said you can even send them in used, but for God's sakes, please clean them before you send them to us. You know, don't be gross. So mine were still new. And of course, you know, just being paranoid guy that I am, I'm taking pictures of the box with a serial number. And, you know, I made sure that if when they come back, I'll double check. I don't think there's going to be any shenanigans. They seem like above board folks. but I will have the glossy black probably by tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that. Of course, now that I paid,
cool. Yeah, looking forward to seeing those.
Yeah, I'll send pictures through Telegram, and I'll probably post them to Instagram when they finally arrive. But yeah, I am looking forward to that, and that'll give me the ones that I carry around all the time will probably just be my sweat pods. They'll just be the ones that I take to the gym, and I'll probably just carry the black pods around as my
black pods and sweat pods.
That's right. I think we have a show title.
Because you're like a sweat hog.
That's right. Well, I am back to the gym this week. I've taken some time off after my surgery. And, you know, I'm strength training 5 days a week now. So I'll pick up with a personal trainer probably in a week or two once I've acclimated to being back into the routine. But if you guys notice, I closed my rings for the first time on Sunday. I'm not going to be insane with the cardio. Like last year in 2017, I did cardio every single day for 324 days in a row of at least 30 minutes or more. And that was great, but that's not sustainable for me long term. I can't do it every single day for the rest of my life. So I'm going to do more focus on strength training and less focus on cardio. So in the days that I'm recovering
from... The pressure of the rings was getting to Brian.
I was the lord of the rings.
You were in like Water Valley for like Thanksgiving or something, and you're like, I'm going to the gym in Water Valley, Mississippi or something so I can keep closing the rings.
And I did. And it was like, you know what? If I have to walk around in the middle of downtown nowhere, Mississippi, I'm going to do it. But fortunately, there was a gym with an elliptical that I could use. I was in the middle of nowhere, Kentucky. I did the same thing. Even on the days that I had to fly for work, you know, there were some days that I was in a hotel gym at like 10 o'clock at night, just running my butt off to close those rings. But I did close those rings every single day for 324 days in a row. So I'm not going to be that obsessed this year. And of course, with the strength training, you know, it wouldn't be as accurate anyway if I left the activity meter running. So it's going to be fine. But I'm going to be more focused on that this year. But I will be using my normal older AirPods as the sweat pods, and I'll get a little more mileage out of this. Which, you know, I'm kind of bummed that they're going to be releasing the case that can do the wireless Qi charging for the AirPods. I knew that it was announced last year, and of course, it's just one of those things I forgot about. Well, of course, you know, the moment I get my new pair painted, you know, there's going to be a new case. And no, I'm not going to get that, because I really won't have a use for that. The AirPods charge so fast, and I have all of these little... I'm going to hold this up in our group Skype that we have going on right now, but if I can get it out of the case, one second. The little silicone case, they're like $8 on Amazon. They're great. You just feed a standard lightning cable through it, and I can walk up, slam my AirPods. I have one on my desk at work, one on my desk at home, and probably scattered throughout the house. There's other little strategic locations. Yeah, I mean, your AirPods charge in like 5 minutes anyway with a lightning cable, and, you know, we all have dozens of those. So just never really a reason to charge it wirelessly. Speaking of which, the AirPower wireless charging pad that was announced last year is supposed to ship in March. And I know that I say that I won't buy things, and then I sometimes do, but I really just don't. I don't have a use case for this. My phone, my watch I use when I charge it at night, if I'm not wearing it, I charge it in nightstand mode, which you couldn't do with the AirPower. The other thing is I have...
Yeah, I love the nightstand mode. You can tell the time really easily.
Yeah, it's the best. It's the best. And I have those little watch chargers all over the place too, so I really, again... My watch is never dead, right? It's probably never below 80% most of the time anyway. So I just really wouldn't use it for that. I can't charge my iPad with it. And I do have little wireless chargers for the phone. But, you know, again, for the most part, I've reached peak charger.
Compared to what a really nice wireless charger costs from Amazon now that you can get, it is very expensive. I mean, wasn't it like $150 what they're going to charge for this charge pad?
Yeah,
or whatever
they're
going to call it?
It's pretty expensive.
I mean, and for $30 or $35, you can get one of the top-end fast-charging Q.
It's Qi. We go through Qi. This every time. Qi.
Qi. Qi pads. For, you know, they're relatively inexpensive. And I like the one I've got here. I've got one that I've already left at work that works great. So, I mean, it's just, I think it's more of a nightstand thing. If you charge your watch and you got your, it's more of a convenience, but we've got all the chargers are belong to us.
My favorite charger ever, fast charger, is on Amazon today for like $49, I noticed. And I'm holding it up in the chat. I'll put a link to it. And the thing that I like about it is that it's convertible. So you can use it flat, or you can use it in sort of a orientation that allows you to still see your phone. And when I'm working from home, I just have my phone sitting in it in sort of a propped up mode and using the AirPods, and it's great. And it's a fast charger. It does it, I think it's at, it can do 9 watts, I think, which is good enough for me. I don't see myself having a need for anything other than this. This will be what I take with me when I travel.
I'm in on that Kickstarter that just finished up last week. Of course I am. That is the USB-C hub / iPhone charger. Like, it has a fold up on the USB-C hub that can charge your phone at the same time. That'll be awesome for work because I left a charger there, but then I can just use that at work, and then I can take the other wireless charger and use it at home. So looking forward to that.
Yeah.
You know, sometime by the, you know, 2019 or something when they come out.
Sometime in 2021.
So how about you, Jason or Brad, either of you guys, is this something that you would use or nay?
At that price point, I have no interest. And I've actually seen some of the pundits say that they expect this thing to be $199.
Yikes.
If it was $99, I might be in, with the justification that I can do two devices at one time. It's super simple to just throw your phone and your watch on there. But $199 for a charger is just a bit much, especially for a phone that I've, you know, got $1,200 tied up in because I've got the higher end storage on the iPhone 10.
I really like my watch Hi-Rise for my watch, but I can see buying that pad if I could charge multiple devices on it. But again, like Jason, if the price point is $199, that's just ridiculous.
I mean, you already don't like the Coen brothers and you returned your HomePod. I mean, I'm expecting Jason to come on next week and tell us he's switched to Android and he's trading in his Mac Pro for a Dell.
Are you sitting down? Are you ready for this? I'm leaving Apple Music and going to Spotify.
Dun, dun, dun.
Mind blown.
I could feel it. I think the rest of us here, well, Brad, you're a Spotify only guy, right? You were on both for a while, but you're Spotify only. I pay for both.
After I got my Apple Watch 3 or Apple Watch Series 3, I did join back up to Apple Music.
All right. So welcome back to the 1% Music Club. I'm back in the 1%
Music Club. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
So you just don't, was it the HomePod that killed it for you or was it the inferior music selection? What was the thing?
So I don't think it's the selection. It's the algorithms for finding music that I like just stink on Apple Music. You know, when I tell it to play 90s hip hop and it's playing it literally played 12 songs in a row that I had never heard. And some of them were from bands that I'd heard of, but come on, man. You know, when I ask for something like that, I want you to play me the best of the 90s hip hop. And, you know, I just find that the music stations that I've created. So, you know, I like Ice Cube and other rappers that were kind of around that time and, you know, more of the old school gangster style. And so I put, you know, Ice Cube radio on and every day I hear the same 10 to 12 songs. Well, he was on, you know, he was very much in the forefront.
He's got like 4 songs, right?
Oh, dude. I mean, the guy has been, he's been making music for 15 years. Okay. And so.
Perhaps a bit
longer than that, dude.
So maybe Siri heard you say you didn't like the Big Lebowski and she's like, well, this guy likes songs that suck. And so he just started playing crap. She started playing crappy songs for
you. Come on, not the Eagles, man.
But so the, you know, case in point, though.
See, there you go. We're quoting Billy Gabowski.
If you've got, you know, a portfolio that spans 2 decades and there are other artists that are in that same genre, I should not, if I'm listening to music 2 hours a day, which is about kind of the max that I do, I should not hear in those 2 hours the same songs, same 10 songs every single day. Like, I should be able to go days and days and days without hearing the same song.
So you're saying you celebrate the guy's entire catalog?
Yes.
Almost like we would with, say, Michael Bolton.
Yes.
So here's a station that I really like. On Amazon Music, there is a 90s alternative, and I can listen to that for 4 hours one day and 4 hours the next day and 4 hours the next day, and I might get 1 or 2 overlaps, and those overlaps are justifiable, right? It's Nirvana or it's Pearl Jam or it's, you know, one of the titans of that time frame and that genre. So it's just Apple Music has not captured my admiration.
I'm just messing with you because I do agree that the Spotify algorithm is much better than Apple Music as far as the radio stations. You know, the Spotify daily playlist are probably my favorite thing on Spotify because I can just pick one of those and go, and it's good stuff every time. I am never disappointed in my daily playlist. I've got six or so of them showing up on there now, and I can always pick one of those and go. So, you know, I totally agree with you there. I don't understand how Apple, after all these years being in the music biz, could, you know, still be where they are with some of that. Because, I mean, they could have bought Pandora how many times over. And, I mean, Pandora has, I still think, the best mixing algorithm as far as, you know, you give it a song or an artist. And Pandora is great. I'm not going to pay for it anymore. I already pay for two services. Pandora, you're paying for only streaming mixing. You know, you can't just say play an album on Pandora either. So, I mean, and I listen to music constantly. So I totally get you there. But I also like my super custom playlist that I make in iTunes. So that's the reason I stick with Apple Music too.
Part of the big payoff for Apple Music to me, not only the streaming stuff, but is the iTunes Match capability that you used to pay for as a separate thing. And I think you still can pay for as a separate thing. Because I have a huge catalog of music that I've been collecting since my teenage years on CDs. And some of these albums just aren't in Apple Music, period. You cannot buy them. I mean, you're not going to find them in the iTunes store, and you're not going to find them on Apple Music. And those are the albums that are not necessarily crucial to me, but I want to have them around anytime I want them if I need them.
That's totally understandable.
And now the more that I think about it, right, what I may end up doing is downgrading my Apple family plan to the $9.99 a month, buy a year up front at the discounted price, and then switch to a Spotify family plan and put myself, my wife, and my parents on it.
So just for anyone listening out there, about 10 minutes ago, when we were talking about the Black Pods, I navigated to the website, and it didn't show it to me immediately, but I just had the window open, and all of a sudden, I just got a pop-up that says, save $30 for a limited amount of time, enter your email address. So I guess they figure I've been staring at this page long enough that I'm really thinking about buying some of these, so they're offering me $30 off. So if you're looking at the Black Pods, if that window doesn't open up immediately, maybe leave it open or, you know, load a different page inside the site and see if you get the show me the code for $30 off.
Yeah, they know you're mulling it over.
Or maybe you just need a faster Mac because it popped up immediately on my iMac Pro.
Yeah, well, you're going to trade it in on a Dell anyway. So.
Ow, the burn.
That was the deal that I used, was the $30 off, and we'll see when they come in. I did worry that the glossy was going to be too easily. Like, I want to see how quality the paint job is. Is it easily scratched? Does it flake off? That's why I was thinking the matte was probably a better option, but, you know, we'll see. Well, I think that's about all that I had for this week. Anything you guys want to cover before we go?
I think that was it for me this week. We covered Alto right off the top, and that was at least my bigger contribution to the show notes for this week. Hey, go try this new cool game. So go check out Alto's Odyssey. It's $5. It's well worth it, you cheapo. No, I'm sorry. it's well worth it for Zen Mode alone, just to put some headphones on, listen to the music, and just sand slide.
Anything from you, Jason or Brad?
Nope, I'm all set.
Look for Jason on the new Dude, You're Getting a Dell podcast in about 2 weeks.
You guys are rough.
Oh, we gotta give you some grief over that. No, I mean, you know, even for four Apple fanboys, you know, Apple is not without its faults. And I think all of us would sit here and there are tons of things that we could easily criticize. And it wouldn't even be a question.
And we keep on buying it without even questioning it.
Well, you know, that
we don't even question buying it. You know, we just, you know, we nitpick because we can, right? That's the only thing that you can really complain about, except, you know, new MacBook Pros, which, you know, that's a whole nother episode.
With the exception of the MacBook Pros, they make really good hardware. With the exception of MacBook Pros, asterisk.
Ooh, boy.
Not available in all areas.
Hey, I've been on the podcast we've been recording for over an hour and I haven't froze up once yet. So, oh, that's right. I'm not using the camera in my MacBook Pro anymore. I'm using a cheapy $25 Logitech USB camera.
Which is funny because if I use my $70 Logitech C920 from a few years ago and I plug it into my 2014 MacBook Pro and let's say I FaceTime my parents with it, all of a sudden the audio starts going really low and they can't hear me, and then I robot out and then I have to unplug it and fling it at the wall and then go back to my iMac. So even my external camera is the one that sucks on my MacBook Pro. So go figure. Well, that should do it for this week, and I guess we will see you guys next week. Later, fellas.
Later, fellas.
Please visit infiniteloopback.com for show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter. We're at infinloopback. That's at I-N-F-I-N loopback. I'm Brian B. That's at B-R-I-A-N-B. Jim is at Big Jim. That's at B-I-G-J-I-M. Jason is at J-S-N-Y-N-G. That's at J-S-N-Y-N-G. And Brad is at Meester Idol. That's at M-E-E-S-T-E-R-I-D-L-E. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.